At Consumer Cellular, you get the same exact coverage as the largest carriers, but for up to half the cost. Same thing, up to half the cost. Up to half the cost for the same thing. 50% the money for 100% the same thing. I hope I'm making myself clear. Consumer Cellular. When freedom calls, we're here to answer. Call us at 1-888-FREEDOM.
Half the cost savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 5GB data plan with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plan offered by T-Mobile and Verizon May 2023.
What a great bump to come back with. In honor of Steph Nason's face goal, which, according to our friend Walt Ruff of Hurricanes.com, content maestro, it's not even the first face goal Steph Nason scored in his career. Did one with the New Jersey Devils back in the day. Mike Maniscalco, I'm going to say this definitively, has never scored a goal with his face. Ever. He might have blocked a pitch in the dirt with his face. I don't know. He joins us on the Adam Gold Show, the voice of your Carolina Hurricanes. He's in Columbus. You've never scored a goal with your face, have you?
Does floor hockey count? Or deck hockey?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Then, yes, I have.
Oh, good for you. Did it hurt?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's those you know, the hard plastic orange road hockey balls that, yeah. You know, and I wasn't wearing a helmet or anything. So, but, you know, I got a hard head, so I'm fine. And it was Steph Nason who was the source. He told him that he did it with Jersey. And Walt went, and as you mentioned, Content Maestro was able to dig up the video and find it. So
it's great. I'm looking at it right now.
That's a huge goal, too. Whenever you score with your face, like when Justin Williams did that a few years ago after the Brett Pesce shot,
yeah.
I believe, down in Florida, that should count as two goals, not just as one.
It's funny. I keep busting Brett's chops about it as every time I can by telling him, you know, the ultimate insult is that your slap shot hit Justin Williams in the cheek and went in, and he came back and played. I think you need to go back and work on your shot, Brett.
And I'm sure he gives you that.
He loves it.
Yeah, I will. You know, I don't have the hardest shot. It was accurate.
He was aiming. He was aiming. It was a tip try. It was great. It's a shot pass right off of Williams' cheekbone. You know, Rod Brind'Amour talks about it. He's talked about it a lot. Not a lot of puck luck. I mean, honestly, Carolina's three goals were all puck luck last night. The shot off just Jordan Martinook's back or his pants or wherever it hit fell to Jordan Staal. The Svechnikov shot, I've seen it a thousand times now. It wasn't even on net. And then the Steph Nason face goal or the visor goal. Didn't you think they got better? I thought the third period was pretty solid. Rod didn't like it, but I thought it was solid in the third period.
No, I like their first and I like their third period in that game, especially, you know, a 2-2 game on the road. You got that late goal that ties the game in the second period, a period you didn't play well. That was the funny thing, is I thought that the Canes were far better than Minnesota in the first period, but it's the Wild who are up 2-1.
Right.
And I thought that the Wild were better in the second period, and the Canes win that period to have the game tied. So I thought they played a good road period in the third, the way that they have to play to win. In the penalty kill again,
jeez,
comes up big. I mean, that's the, you know, Adam, when we talk about this team this year, I think the hallmark is going to be the special teams and how the penalty kill in a lot of games really switched momentum to the Canes side of things. And you know, when puck luck, the one thing about it, you got to get a bounce, but you also have to put yourself in the spots to take advantage of the bounce. And that's what the Canes did on their three goals there last night. They got to the spots. I mean, that's a goal that Steph Nason, you know, he's not dancing around. He's charging to the net, yep, at the end of a power play. You know, and that should be, we can argue, is it a power play goal or not? In my mind, if you score a goal 5 seconds after a power play is over, there's no way the guy coming out of the box gets in position. That's still a power play goal in my mind. But, you know, Nason scores by going to the net.
Yep.
And then the Canes make a great play on the Svechnikov goal, and Andrei Svechnikov stays on the ice to try to get numbers on that shift and on that rush. So, you know, you make your own luck when you get it, and this is a team that, you know, the bounces don't necessarily always go their way, and they find a way to win. So that was pretty refreshing last night,
yeah,
in St. Paul to get that.
Mike Maniscalco is joining us, the voice of your Carolina Hurricanes against Columbus last night. I think it's a radio only tomorrow night. I don't know.
You are correct.
I think it's a radio only game tomorrow. But anyway, we'll be on the radio, and all of us will be on the radio. And I want to talk to you about Pyotr Kochetkov, and I know you talk to Tripp about it a lot, and I've been talking to Tripp throughout the day today about Pyotr. He was amazing in the win over Florida. I mean, so good, you know, spectacular stand on your head type game. But in many respects, I'm not sure last night wasn't a better sign that Kochetkov had turned the corner, because I thought his anticipation, reading the play, helped him make what otherwise would have been difficult situations look routine. Because as good as Minnesota was and as dangerous as they've been offensively lately, he didn't have to make a ton of great saves. I just think he was in position all night.
Yeah, and you know, that's the funny thing, Adam, that goalies can make it would normally be a great save if they're out of position and they scramble to get to it, but he makes a save on Matt Zuccarello late in the first period, and I'm thinking Zuccarello is going to bury this one, and Kochetkov is over there to make the play. He robbed Marco Rossi twice. One was right there on the goal line. Matt Boldy was there. And then the one save on Kaprizov, where the puck, it's on the power play. He mans up on him, and he's in the right position. Yeah. I'm with you. And the first period, again, I don't fault him on either of the goals. Yeah, you know, the one from Brodin is from distance, and you can say, well, woulda, coulda. But for me, it was after that. Nothing comes in. And you know, for a young netminder, you got to build that mental wall of, okay, nothing else is getting past me here the rest of the night. And that, for me, is the growth this year for Pyotr. I think we all know he has the skill. And Paul Jeanfelder has done an unbelievable job with working with Pyotr on the tenets of being a fundamentally sound goalie.
Right.
I know that's so speak there, Adam, but
right.
You know, that's a big thing. When you can rely on the fundamentals, and then his athletic ability can take over for the other parts of it, you're really building something special. And I think that's where the Carolina Hurricanes are right now with Pyotr. And that was a good performance last night from him. And I'm with you, building off of what he did in that Florida game. You just want to keep stacking these wins, and that's what he's been able to do.
Yeah, we all remember the first, I don't know, two months of the season, and Carolina's team save percentage was at the bottom of the league. It was like in the 870s. It was that bad. It's just over 90% now. But since the game in Ottawa, and that's the line of demarcation not only for Kochetkov, but for the team. The Hurricanes have the best record in the NHL since that game, that win in Ottawa. Their team save percentage is .910, which, if you looked right now, fifth best in the NHL, if you put that .910, slotted it right in. So from that point on, it's not just Pyotr. Part of that is also Spencer Martin. You got an explanation for that?
Yeah, I do. There's a couple of things. One of them, and I know that we can talk about analytics and numbers all day long. If you go to the start of the year, and the one thing that the Canes do defensively that is better than, I think, than anybody in the league, they limit shots on goal. So, Adam, when you're only giving up 22, 23 shots on goal a game, but you're not getting those saves that you need, or you're giving up grade A chances, and the other team is scoring 4 goals, 5 goals, you're the perfect guy I can use this analogy with. It's like a starting pitcher who gets rocked on opening day. It's going to take him until June to get his ERA back to where you're like, oh, that's not disgusting. So that's kind of what happened with the Canes goaltenders in October and November. And now what's happening is not only are the Canes still limiting the shots, but now you're getting the saves. And for Spencer Martin, we're here in Columbus, so not to go Ricky Bobby, and no disrespect to the Columbus Blue Jackets, but for Spencer Martin, playing in front of a team that doesn't have that defensive structure, doesn't play the way that the Canes do, you throw him behind what Carolina does, and all he has to do is stop the puck. He doesn't have to be Superman. He just has to stop the puck. And the amazing thing for me is Boston, Vegas, a Chicago team that wants to play a little bit open, and they got Connor Bedard back in that game. And then he was the reason why Carolina gets a point against Buffalo on Sunday. I just think for him, it's the confidence going back the other way. I think the confidence goes from the goal out. I think for Spencer Martin going, playing behind this team, I just have to get in front of the puck. I don't have to worry about anything else. And he has been a revelation. And another great, and we've talked about it, Chip and I have talked about it on the broadcast, and he says he's the Curtis McElhinney 2.0, the waiver pickup. And I really do believe that. His demeanor, how he carries himself, and he makes the save, and he doesn't give up the big rebound at the wrong time. So, and the goaltending's been, as you pointed it out, the goaltending's been good. You look at Kochetkov, you look at Martin, they're making not just, you know, the big save, they're making the save when the Canes need it.
Yeah, and even, I know there have been bad games, and he was sent to the minor leagues, but Antti Raanta has had a lot of good moments in there, and he's hurt now. Look, I don't know if you know the answer to this, and I'm not suggesting that you do, but what are the chances we see Spencer Martin tomorrow against his old mates, the Columbus Blue Jackets?
I think it's a really good chance, just because he has given this coaching staff, he's given Paul Schoenfelder, the goaltending coach, and Rod Brind'Amour every reason to give him starts and to give him these opportunities. And not that it's a super quick turnaround, but, you know, you're going to play an afternoon game at home against Winnipeg on Saturday.
Yep.
You know, why not give Pyotr Kochetkov a little bit more time to come off of that win that he has the other night? You can throw Spencer Martin in, and then you can roll with Pyotr Kochetkov against Winnipeg at home. I think that it would be, honestly, a coin flip, but, you know, I don't make the decision, but I would not be shocked. And based on practice today, they both split the starters crease. So good luck for me trying to figure it out. But I wouldn't be shocked if Spencer Martin gets the start tomorrow night.
Was Freddie on the ice?
Freddie was on the ice. Still practicing, still getting closer. So still there's no definitive timetable for it. But again, you know, that's, look at the negative, and we see all the stories about what the Canes need, and every national writer goes goaltending. I don't think goaltending is the one thing that the team needs right now, unless there's something that, you know, blows their socks off. But even then, you get Freddie back, and he, for a guy who's missed 3 months, he doesn't look like he's missed 3 months, at least in practice. So that's an encouraging thing. And then we've already talked about the other three goaltenders right now for this team.
I mean, look, at some point, you can't carry four. So the decisions will be made, and we will discuss those at a later time. Mike Maniscalco is the voice of your Carolina Hurricanes, and we will be listening to him tomorrow when the Hurricanes take on the Columbus Blue Jackets from Columbus. And I'll see you Saturday afternoon up at up on the fifth floor.
I will see you there, Adam.
Take care, man. Thank you. Thank you very much. Mike Maniscalco, the voice of your Carolina Hurricanes.